talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope your weekend was good. Seemed like it went really fast since the holiday. Christmas was right in the middle of the week, but other than that, it's windy outside. Let's check out some temperatures in our listening area. 71 degrees at Hollis, 71 at Hobart, 69 at Bessie, 64 at Arnett, 64 at Woodward, 56 degrees over there at Lahoma, and 64 at Fairview. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, 62 at Lipscomb, 69 at Dozer, 72 at Odell, and 73 at Childress. Well, if you haven't been outside yet, the wind's blowing in the biggest part of our listening area right now. What do we got here? What I'm seeing is Camargo, you got the highest winds besides slap out going at 45 mile an hour gusts, 36 mile an hour sustained. Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon, 30 miles an hour with 38 mile an hour wind gusts. It's just getting down into tips or the corner of southwestern Oklahoma. It's there though. 21 at Hollis with got wind gust up 27. Medicine Park's got wind gusts up to 43. So it is, I think this is going to be with us a few days, and the wind's out of the north. Fire danger is really high. Let's check out what the forestry department is saying. Red flag warnings for Cimarron and Texas counties. But wind warnings are for most of western Oklahoma, but not red flag warnings. So what they're saying right now is a red flag warning is in effect today for Cimarron and Texas counties from 9 a.m. till 8 o'clock tonight. Elevated to near critical fire weather will develop across northwestern and western tier counties. The active burning period will be abbreviated, limiting significant fire potential. Northwestern and western Oklahoma, the strongest alignment of fuels and fire weather will develop midday, right, like right now through the afternoon, with temperatures in the 60s and humidity around 14% is what they're saying. When I was coming into town today, they already had, I don't know the details on it, I just know about where it was. I drove within 2 or 3 miles of it over there east of Sayre, and I think it looked like it was on the north side of I-40. From my understanding to some of the listeners is they're mopping it up, and it happened just as that wind got up. So, good thing. I don't know if there's any other fires going on. Please don't be bashful. You can text that in here, no matter where they're at, northwestern Oklahoma, western, southwestern. The Ag text line here at 580-225-9697. I know I sound like a broken record, but please, please be careful with what you're doing today. And I think these winds are going to go through tomorrow, and take a lot of precaution, because we do have a lot of fuel out there. Also, check your oil bearings. If you see somebody dragging a chain or something, wave them over, honk at them, do something, get them to stop, and all those good things. We don't need any of these wildfires. We had enough earlier this year to do us for a while. It says here, according to the forestry department, in the post-frontal environment, cooler temperatures and improved relative humidity values will serve to relax fire danger overall. Although breezy north winds will persist through Tuesday, cool and calm conditions on New Year's Day will set the stage for reduced fire danger expectation through the remainder of the work week. A series of cold fronts are expected to transverse through the southern Great Plains in the coming days, with the next one on Thursday. Given current forecast data, these systems lack the fire weather concern associated with the frontal passage today. Now, I'm just telling you, be careful out there. Currently, there is no county burn bans in the state of Oklahoma. And I didn't look at the one in Texas. I'll look at that at break and see how it's going. I guess we got, what, today and tomorrow? And that's the end of the 25 or end of 2024. Looking forward to 25. And we're going to talk about some of the things coming up next year. A lot of worries, a lot of pluses. So I guess there's a lot of minuses and pluses going on, especially with the grain prices being as low as they are and cattle prices being as high as they are. There's a lot of things on a lot of people's mind in the coming year, and we'll discuss those. How's that? All right, let's just get it started talking about next year. I seen this on AgWeb, 10 understated things economists say could impact agriculture in the new year, from trade and deregulation to alternative land uses, cash rent prices. Ag economists have no shortages of issues on their radar for 2025. This past year was definitely full of surprises, but there were also happenings in the ag that a world that economists warn about that had at the end of 2023. The bleak outlook for commodity prices, along with elevated interest rates, created a downturn in the ag economy, which is something many economists warned would happen. It's the speed of which margins crumble that might have been the bigger surprise. The latest Ag Economist Monthly Monitor asked economists in the U.S. whether we're in a recession or on the brink of one. The majority of ag economists says U.S. agriculture is ending the year in a recession. 56% of ag economists responded by saying agriculture is currently in a recession, and which is up from the 53% who responded that way in October. 81% of economists surveyed said the U.S. ag economy is on the brink of recession, which is a significant jump from 56% when they responded in the October survey. One occurrence that wasn't on anyone's radar in 2023 was the H5N1. The bird flu, as we know it by, was what was the first thought to be a mystery illness impacting dairy herds in Texas, was later confirmed as the H5N1, the first time the disease was detected in mammals. At the end of 2024, what are economists watching in 2025? In Farm Journal's latest Ag Economist Monthly Monitor, we ask economists, what's the one factor impacting the ag economy not being talked about or covered by the media enough right now? From trade to deregulation, plus numerous unknowns in a new administration, economists have no shortage of issues they're watching in the new year. The media seems consumed with the negatives of a Trump administration, or a Republican trifecta, they're calling it. It's certainly good to be aware of the challenges with any political transition, but more forward thinking on what is positive would be helpful. The outlook of taxes, biofuels policy, trade deals with agriculture included, deregulation of all seem to be potential positives we could be talking about more. Prospective tariff war is downplayed despite published research measuring expected range of damage. Farmers' attitudes towards alternative land use, CRP, solar, and other forms to help diversify incomes. Policy uncertainty is high right now. Will tariffs be imposed? And if so, what will the reaction of other countries? What will be the reaction of other countries? Will the new administration take regulatory actions that favor or hurt the biofuel industry? What will be the outcome of debates over tax policies? Will economic assistance to the farm sector be approved during the lame duck session of or into early 2025? What about a new farm bill? Many people are making assumptions about these and how these questions will be answered, but we just don't know. Farm income varies greatly by region. While we often focus on the Midwest and the financial health of that region, it's also important to notice the regions in southern U.S. are really struggling. It's also important to watch what production adjustments producers make to cope with the day's tighter operating margins. Could federal budgets cuts dramatically change, reduce the federal farm income safety net? Cash rent prices staying constant during a downturn in crop prices? Let's be clear. The clean fuels tax credit goes to the fuel producer, not the farmer. It enables market access to the biofuel market for farm economy, but the ability for the farm economy to capitalize on it is hamstrung by credit levels that have incentivized large inflows of foreign feedstocks at the expense of literally homegrown feedstocks like SBO. The Brazil real is depreciating, which eventually leads to more U.S. competition. China, Europe, Mexico, and others know what to expect out of Trump. They've seen it before. Everyone is discounting the possibility of the Trump's tariff threat could result in some preempted trade agreements that benefit us here in the States. The U.S. is the biggest buyer of consumer goods in the world. They can't afford to cut us off. Note that I said consumer goods, not commodities. What do you guys think? You want to throw your opinion out on what you think? What's on your radar for 2025? This is myself. I'm not speaking for the station here, but this is for myself. I think what to be the incoming president Trump is talking about with these tariffs with Canada, Mexico, China, whoever, whatever. It's so unfair what's going on. We're buying more products from them than they're buying from us. So what does that mean? It's uneven trade. And if they don't straighten up on their end, what do? You put tariffs on them. Is it good for us? Maybe not, but maybe in the long run, but it'll bring more manufacturing back to the U.S., but that creates another problem. I don't know if you guys noticed, there's a lot of help wanted ads everywhere in the United States, and especially since COVID, there's a lot of people that don't want to work and or won't work. And so if we bring manufacturing back to the U.S., more manufacturing back to the U.S., who's going to work it? You know, that's what's going on with the illegal immigration. You know, a lot of people in California and Arizona are saying, you know, if he deports all these illegals, it'll hurt them out on their farms and stuff. Well, there's ways to, you know, there's the legal ways to have your workers on the farm, and I can see that. You know, I get it. I remember back when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, back when there was cotton hoeing going on and cotton chopping going on, you know, we had families that came from Mexico and come up and hoed cotton and got paid for it, and they went back home. They took their money and went back home. Now, our money goes a long ways down there. But nowadays, it doesn't seem that, you know, we got chemical spraying and other ways of dealing with weeds and stuff. Vegetable picking's a whole different ball game compared to what I'm talking about with cotton. The illegals are coming in and staying. And then we got these cartels and these gangs. And, you know, you've seen the news from, like, in Colorado, where the gangs, illegal immigrants from Mexico have taken over small towns and just made you live in fear and stuff like that. I don't know. There's just so many different avenues that a guy can think about what's going on with our world, and agriculture is a big plus of it. are, and since COVID, our inputs of, I'd love to have a new tractor, but I can't afford one. Now with farming 200 acres of farmland and having taken care of 75 cows, I can't afford a new tractor. So I just got to live with the one I got, and that's fine. I'm good with it. Would I like a new one? Yeah. I don't know. You can buy a new tractor, probably a small tractor, not a big one, for as much as you can spend on a vehicle nowadays. So it's just a crazy world we're living in. And, hopefully things get better in this upcoming year for ranchers and farmers and people in the ag business. Ag business, feed business, feed stores are hurting. Just like farmers are hurting because their inputs are high and they can't afford to buy this or that. And so that hurts our ag businesses as we're, you know, purchasing stuff from our local feed stores and stuff like that. And, you know, equipment. I don't want to leave the equipment dealers out. It's just it's a mess right now. So, all right, we're going to take a Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. We'll come back. We'll have your Lipscomb Dealerships Grain Market Update.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 13th. 1,913 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 453 brought 362.50. 8 at 500 brought 330. 13 at 517 brought 322. 9 at 556 brought 307. 7 at 606 brought 287. 11 at 631 brought 277. 10 head of heifers at 366 brought 360. 6 at 380 brought 342.50. 7 at 456 brought 311. 13 at 484 brought 306. 12 at 538 brought 290. 4 at 605 brought 250. 8 at 693 brought 244. Butcher cows were 30 to 132. Butcher bulls brought 100 to 150. Bred cows 900 to 2775. Pairs brought 2150 to 3725. Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6. On sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Hello, this is Kent Watkins, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. Are you looking for a new place to buy all of your livestock feed, seed, and chemical? Let SEI Agritech be your trusted place to get everything you need. We offer winter feed contracts, by the bag or bulk. We carry Mixed 30 liquid supplement, Total Equine horse feed, Sure Crop fertilizer, Golden Harvest corn seed, Advanta hay grazer seed, and we also are an authorized dealer for livestock nutrition centers. Give us a call today. Follow us on Facebook. Come by and see us, SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Yeehaw, we just had a 50-mile-an-hour wind gust at Buffalo and Camargo at the same time. Shit, that old wind's getting it. All right, let's go out in the panhandle of Texas and see what's happening out there with some ag weather. Miami at 64 degrees, humidity's 24, the dew point's 27, the winds are constantly out of the north at 29 miles an hour with wind gusts right now at 34. Peak wind gust today, 44. Month to date precipitation, 0.04 inches. No red flag or sub-freezing minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature, 48 degrees. Ah, let's see. Here we go. I got a couple of responses on the text line. And you guys want to respond all hour, that's fine. My question is, what are you looking forward to? What's one thing you're looking forward to in 2025 in your world, wild, wild world of ag? I would love to see the green prices go up, but even if they keep the grain prices go up, but even if they keep the grain prices low like they are, if they would minimize inputs cost by lowering the price of fuel, fertilizer, seed, that kind of stuff, the farmers could still profit a little, even with the prices of grain low. Another person said, if you cut out the welfare to work age people, you will have workers. I've heard that a lot. Now, if you want to respond, what you're looking for, 580-225-9697. That's our ag hot text line. How's that? All right, let's check out what's going on with the Lipscomb dealerships. Grain market update. They got two of them right here in Elk City, the Chevy and the GM and the Dodge. And over at Sayre, Ford dealership. I bet if you haven't spent your money you need to spend by the end of the year, you need to head on over to Sayre, one of the dealerships here in Elk City, get your new feed truck. How's that? All right, corn. Whoops. I just seen that. This thing used to update on its own. Now I got to update it. All right, there's the updated grain prices. March corn, 450, down 3.75. May, 458, down 3.5. Soybeans for January, 975, down 4.5. March, 988, down 1.75. Soybean meal, January, 301.30. up 40 cents. March is 310.60 a short ton, up a dime. Soybean oil, January 39.78 up 26. March is 40.35 up 35. Hard red winter wheat, March 5.53 down 3/4. May is 5.62 down 1/2. What else we got here? Cotton for next May, 69.71 down 1/4. And July 70.68 down 31. And I said 1/4 down 0.25, not quite 1/4. Them are pennies we're looking at. Oil out of West Texas, February 71.35 up 75. March 70.88 up 70. Natural gas, February 3.86 up 48. March is 3.21 up 24. The Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ are all in the red. Live cattle for December. Let's not do that. Live cattle for February, 190.40, down 25. April is 193.10, down 25. January feeders, 261.42, up a nickel. March is 260.70, up 15. And April is 261.15. up a dime. Lean hogs are in the red for February, 81.72 down 2.42. April's 87.40 down 2.12. How about that? All right. Since I got a really, well, we'll save that for tomorrow. Sorry. I forgot my question I was going to ask you guys. I got a really nice Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association jacket, but I forgot my question. I wrote it down downstairs. I don't have time to go down there and get it. We'll do it next Monday. I got a really nice vest, though. It's a really, really cool vest that I'll give it away. Well, let's go. Before we go to break, Packers. Packers are facing the perfect storm. Sharply higher prices for cash steers and feeder cattle are expected. I'll cut right through the chase. Entering 2025, the beef fundamental makeup is such the beef packers are facing a perfect storm. I visualize sharply higher cattle prices, reaching price levels never dreamed of. Below is a list of 10 bullish fundamentals that are going to come into play. So here you go. You listening? The 2024 calf crop, reported in the cattle inventory report on January 31st, should be record small. The beef cow herd is down over 10% from the peak. Due to drought in the U.S., the industry has placed the decade-high percentage of the calf crop, which is more than 80%. The Mexican border closure has disrupted the feeder imports and will continue to restrict imports even after the border is reopened due to safety protocols. Plentiful rain in the southern plains since November, boosting winter wheat crop ratings, will limit placements this winter. Potential tariffs imposed against Mexico and Canada will shut down beef imports from the northern and southern border. JBS Brazil shut down 11 beef plants during November to break the cash steer market in Brazil. Steer prices rallied more than 50% in 4 months. This is expected to severely curtail U.S. beef imports from Brazil during December and spilling over into this coming month of January. Dress cattle weights have peaked. The U.S. beef demand remains stronger than expected. In the wake of the U.S. presidential election, U.S. consumer confidence has soared. Two new beef slaughter plants are scheduled to open online in April, expanding industrial slaughter capacity at a time when on feed numbers are likely to be dropping shortly. Beef packers are incredibly good at what they do, but live cattle for as little as possible and sell beef for as high as possible, assuring profits. During 2024, nearly everyone, including me, expected cattle supplies to get tight and prices to soar, with packers losing control of the market and bleeding red ink in the process. That did not happen. While prices were strong at times, beef packers utilized the tool of slow and chain speed to prevent wholesale beef prices from falling sharply while keeping the cash steer market under wraps. This tool has three impacts on the market: consistently slowing the marketing rate in combination with larger placements than expected allowed on-feed inventory to remain near year-ago levels. The slower chain speed over forced cattle weights upward and into all-time record highs. This was engineered by packers to help preserve margins. While still a challenging environment, beef packer margins for the most of the year actually remain profitable. How about that? All kinds of stuff going on. I remember when cattle prices are low, everybody, you know, I realized that four companies control the packing industry in the United States. And when prices were low there, 3 years ago? Cattle prices just way low there 2-3 years ago. Everybody was cussing the packers and blah, blah, blah. And it looks like with prices high right now on cattle, the packers are remaining profitable. And for now, which is a good deal. Everybody's making a little bit of money, and people, the demand, the important thing to look at all that is, in my book, is the demand for beef is still high, even with prices higher. That's a good sign that people want to eat their beef. And I'm just going to throw this out there as a recommendation. We don't know what's going to happen this coming year. And I'm not trying to scare anybody into buying beef, but just opinion, just in case. It wouldn't hurt if you got freezer space right now. Call your favorite local processor or your beef person, like Taylor Ranch, Tucker's. All there's all kinds of people sell good beef around here, including myself. And buy you a quarter or half, put in the freezer for the heck of it. Buy yourself something for the new year. How's that? You'll be happy with your choice. Just, if you got room, fill your freezer up. Won't hurt a darn thing. Because I don't see cattle prices going down. And if they do, something bad's going to happen. So something bad did happen if cattle prices hit rock bottom. So, all right, let's take a Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When I come back, I'll have your Northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update right after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
A bolt breaks on a spring tooth, a harrow, or a chisel. Your work in the field stops. Most people have two choices. Either use baling wire as a temporary fix or drive 15 miles into town. There's a third option that'll get you back to work in only a few minutes. We'll bring a bolt bin to your place, and we'll keep it stocked for you. Camrock Supply. It's on South Main in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. The website is camrocksupply.com. Staying supplied keeps you in the field, getting your work done.
Anything you can get out and about and do in the public to keep yourself out there, seeing what's going on, and you're knowledgeable about what's going on. You have customers come in wanting to do something, open a business or whatnot. It might be nice to have a little insight on your side. They have business plans. It's probably rare to find a business plan that has every little in and out thought out. So if you know what's going on around town, there may be something you could share with them that might either alter their plan, make their plan a different direction, speed it up, slow it down.
I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Accomplishing goals is hard. But when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. Babbel is designed with you in mind. From expert-created lessons to conversational video units and even live classes, you can personalize your Babbel experience to be exactly what you need to really learn a new language more easily. Go ahead, set a goal for yourself. Accomplish it with Babbel. Try Babbel for free. Go to babbel.com. That's babbel.com.
Well, I've been here for about 10 years, and I mean, it's just the honesty and integrity that I think that Brandon and Jill uphold in the company. I mean, I moved away for a year and a half, and part of the reason I moved back is because of Brandon and Jill, and because, you know, they take care of us really well. One thing that a lot of people are misconcepted is we try to do hardwired instead of Wi-Fi. So Control 4 is complete home automation. So that's audio, video, lighting, security. We're still a little young in it, and I'm a big nerd in it, so I've been learning a lot of it, you know, and picked it up and took off with it, so I'm really excited about it. Yeah, so we do everything from router switches, wireless access points, to where if you've got a big house, that's one thing we really push on these big custom houses that we do, is try to do the backbone of the network so that you have good Wi-Fi throughout the complete home, and even, you know, on your back patio, wherever you want, your shop, wherever.
The big 3-year-end model year clearance sale is happening now at all 7 Lipscomb dealerships. Great big limited time savings on new GM, Ford, and Stellantis vehicles, including special 0% financing and discounts of over $11,000 off select Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram vehicles now through the end of the year at Lipscomb in Wichita Falls, Burke Burnett, Bowie, Sayre, Elk City, and online at LipscombDealerships.com. Good people with great deals for you this holiday season.
Cattlemen's Congress in the heart of cattle country is a lot more than just a cattle show. See for yourself January 4th through the 16th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sale of elite genetics, something for every operation. Enjoy the commercial cattlemen's luncheon January 9th at 11 a.m. with the commercial female replacement sale at 1 p.m. For a full schedule and sale information, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Freedom, Oklahoma. Here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. 66 degrees, feels like 66. Dew points 34. Humidity's 31. The winds are out of the northwest at 27 miles an hour. Wind gusts 36 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 0.07 inches. That is 70, what is that? 71 thousandths of an inch. Is that correct? According to how they measured around Grimes, Oklahoma, there in Roger Mills County, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 46 degrees, sunset at 5:30, breezy, 66 today, tonight 32 for a low, winds continue out of the northwest at 16 to 22 with wind gusts up to 30, tomorrow mostly sunny, a little chillier, 48 for a high, northwest winds 8 to 16 with wind gusts up to 20 to 25. There it is, for freedom. Speaking of Grimes, you know, my old buddy calls me from Roger Mills County. There's a fire going on. He's concerned that it was on my landlord's over there on Merritt Road. And I'm driving north from Carter, headed towards Elk City on 34 Highway. And he's way up there around Grimes on a hill, trying to tell me where the fire was. And I could see, when I finally got out of Carter far enough, I could see the smoke was back over there towards Sayre. And I said, well, it looks like it's over there towards the truck stop or around the Puckett's feedlot there, the old Puckett's feedlot where they got still have harvesters in the air there. And no, it ain't. It's back over there. Okay, so I'm a couple miles from the fire, and he's 30 miles from the fire, and he's trying to tell me this. Man, when you just, I guess when you get in your 70s, especially your late 70s like him, and you know everything, Mr. Know-It-All, you can tell me where the fire was. And I said, well, I think it's pretty close to Sayre. No, it's not. And I get over there, it doesn't even look, I think it was a mile from Sayre. So, you know, just, you got to respect your elders and just deal with their hard-headedness and know-it-all stuff. That's my rant of the day. Anyway, all right, let's see here. Here's a positive story. And you guys, I don't know if it made the news here in Oklahoma or not, but I thought this was a pretty cool story that I wanted to share with you. And if you get AgWeb or Successful Farming, any of those ag media emails every day, you probably seen this, but I want to share this with the listeners. The Gift of Giving, Oklahoma 4-H member starts a toy drive that now gives out 13,000 toys each year. At just 11 years old, Reed Markham had an idea for a project, collect toys and give them to children in his community. 8 years later, the toy drive has given away more than 64,000 toys at an annual event people wait in line for hours to attend. The season of giving for Reed Markham doesn't just happen during Christmas. For this 19-year-old, the season of giving is year-round. I came up with the idea back in 2016 when I realized that I wanted to help put another toy under someone else's tree that year, said Markham, who is now a Pittsburgh County, Oklahoma 4-H ambassador. At just 11 years old, this 4-H member had an idea, collect toys and give them out to children in his local community. He came home one day, he talked to me and his stepfather, and he said, Mom, I want to help some kiddos in my class for Christmas, remembers Angie Miller, Reed's mom. I said, okay, what can we do? I told them he could do a little work, and he was like, no, I want to give out toys. The first year, Reed's small ideal turned into a huge success, giving out around 5,000 toys at his stepfather's law office. Little did this family know that was just the start of something grand. It was something we didn't expect to do, especially have that much success in the community reaction. They really loved it. We did not expect that, Reed says. What's called the J. Michael Miller Toy Drive has grown each year, even during COVID. What happened was COVID hit, and we had told Reed that it just wasn't going to happen this year. And he said, it can happen, Mom. And it did. With the help of the community, Reed moved the toy drive to Reagan's Auto, a decision that helped the drive grow even more. He spoke with Mr. Reagan, and he told Reed, we can do this. They moved all the cars out by noon. We moved in around 1 o'clock, and we would set up all night long, and then we opened the doors. That would start driving. And they would just start driving through, and I wish you guys could see this picture. It's just pallets and tons of toys and boxes. It's pretty cool. Within a couple of years, they even outgrew that space. Last year, Reed moved his toy drive again, this time to the McAllister Expo Center. We are orchestrating with the local Expo Center here in McAllister for people to come. It's just an amazing venue for what we're doing here, and it's an amazing process that we have to set up, Reed said. On December 7th, 2024, Reed had his biggest giveaway yet. We collected a ton, but we were able to give out around 13,000 toys this year that day, in one day. What started to be one small ideal has brought generosity through toys that touched 13,000 lives this year alone. In a year-long process, Angie said the entire year we're looking for toys, collecting them, getting donations from people, but when the day comes, gets near and close, it really starts to ramp up. Since 2016, this toy drive has given away 64,000 toys. As the event grows each year, lines of cars that now stretch 3 to 4 miles long and all with kids in them eager to receive toys that year. I was working the line this year, and we did see license plates from Texas, Arkansas. That's normal, Greg Olin said, Pittsburgh County, Oklahoma 4-H educator. I would ask that people in line, what's the experience like? And this year I heard the comment, it was literally perfect. But for Reed, this wouldn't be possible without volunteers. It takes 100 of them. They can help us move toys from point A to point B. We're holding them and help give the toys, help walk the line, be dressed up in costumes to help entertain the kids, give out small items as they go through the line. The kids are not just sitting there bored, he said. Reed's Toy Drive is becoming a beloved experience, attracting thousands of people from miles away, but this kid has brought so much joy to others and also seen heartache along the way. Just a great story. Just a great story. And here's one. This is one. He had the most difficult year of his life his junior year, Angie says. We were moving to Reagan's that year, and on July 28th, he lost his grandma that he was extremely close to. Not even 4 months later, Reed suffered another devastating loss just weeks away from his toy drive in 2021. We were notified by soldiers that Reed's brother had passed away in the military. Angie said, I talked with Reed and I told him I didn't think we could do this toy giveaway. And he said, Mom, brother would want us to do the toy giveaway. So we're going to do that toy giveaway. So there you have it. What a wonderful story. All right, let's take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. We'll come back with your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Are you Mr. Fix-It? Like to make things run? When you're covering expanded areas with long-term contracts, you hire more people. Canyon Oilfield Services needs lead mechanics with tech tool knowledge and with your own tools. And they need these lead mechanics in Elk City, Hinton, and Chickasha. They also need experienced roustabouts and Class A CDL drivers in Elk City, Hinton, and Chickasha. The pay is oil field good, and Canyon's large customer base and diverse services means job security. Benefits are exceptional. Health, dental, vision, and life insurance, a good retirement plan, and a longevity bonus at the end of the year. Hiring lead mechanics, roustabouts, and drivers in Elk City, Hinton, and Chickasha. Apply at the Elk City office on Highway 6, 3/4 mile south of the golf course. Or call 225-7100. 225-7100. 225-7100. At Canyon Oilfield Services, the key word is service.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. and people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back.
Altus, here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. Currently at 72. Dew points 32, humidity's 23. The winds are out of the north, northwest at 23 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 28. 171 thousandths of an inch in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 51 degrees. Sunset at 5:36. Forecast today, 73 and breezy. Looks like you're going to get there. Tonight, a little chillier, 35. North-northwest winds, 12 to 13. Tomorrow, sunny and 53 for a high with north to northeast wind, 7 to 13 with wind gust up to 20 miles an hour. That's your forecast for Altus down there in southwestern Oklahoma. Okay. I want to ask this. No, this has not been fact-checked by me, so I don't know, but I'm curious if anybody knows anything more about it than what I'm getting ready to read? Or have you ever, there's a lot of wind towers on a lot of properties in western Oklahoma. So I'm curious, have you ever had any of your hay tested that you've made near a wind tower? Now, like I said, it's not fact checked, but I want to share this with you. My spouse is in the ag feed industry. A customer came in and said he went to the family Christmas somewhere around a wind farm somewhere. Spouse couldn't remember which town. Covington or somewhere here in Oklahoma. The gentleman's cousin. There's a lot of what ifs in this story. The gentleman's cousin has a Bermuda field next to a wind farm. He baled the hay and sent tests to OSU for protein levels, etc. OSU came back and said he shouldn't feed or sell the hay as fiberglass was found in his samples. Thus, the windmills are shedding and livestock may be ingesting this fiberglass. So the comment was, if you feed hay to any of your animals, please make sure to get it tested. I agree with that, no matter if you're around a wind tower or not. Especially if you buy around a wind farm. So anybody heard anything on that? Has anybody just got wind towers or on their farm or close to them and make hay. Have you guys ever tested? I don't know that. It amazes me OSU would see that kind of fiberglass in the hay, but I don't know. You never know. So this one guy, he's like me, an anonymous Facebook post relaying a story that she heard from her husband that he heard from an unnamed or unknown customer. Can't remember what town they were from. The unknown customer went to visit an unnamed or unknown cousin in an unknown town, and that cousin said, I'm against wind turbines. I don't know. It could be true. I don't know. Like I said, that's why I hadn't fact checked this, but I'm curious if anybody has heard anything on hay being made next to wind farms. Just a thought. All right. Another thing to think about, because I know there's beginning to be more and more corn, dry land and irrigated corn, grown in western Oklahoma, which is great. I think I did a couple of years. Hogs put me out of the corn business. Ken Ferry advises farmers to plant no more than a third of their acres to a new corn product if they don't have any significant experience with it. He says to bank on proven winners in the field for next season. As growers are making decisions on what corn hybrids to plant next year, Farm Journal agronomist Ken Ferry gets an assortment of questions that come through his office. One, he says, that has come through several times already is, how many acres do you plant to a new hybrid, one you know little about? This question gets asked a lot when you have new hybrids winning a wide swath of plots they are in, said Ferry in his Week's Boots in the Field podcast. That fact that they're winning plots does not indicate that they are strong genetics. But when select hybrids win a lot of plots in a specific area, it may mean the growing conditions were perfect in that area for that hybrid. Ferry says that growing conditions are not repeated the following year. The same hybrid could have meteorical results. He offers one example for your consideration. Here locally in central Illinois, we have a couple 117-day hybrids that have been mopping up in a lot of food plots or a lot of plots, no matter where they're planted in April or May, he notes. As Ferry evaluated the hybrids, he took in consideration the ET late in the summer, which that is the, what do they call that? EPO, transparency, Spearson, however rates, ET rate, how's that? We had considerably above average ET rates in August through the end of September, he recalls. These full season corn hybrids picked up another 2 weeks of good field days with the cool nights. That might have set the full season corn up to win, especially if they are D hybrids, though they get their yield gain in depth. Ferry said if Central Illinois had a shorter, even normal field season, those same hybrids could have been a disappointment. So ask the seed company representative, he said, or local farmers growing some of these hybrids that you're thinking about, that you're interested about fertility practices, tillage, fungicide, insecticides, what's all been used and what's needed for success, data coming from plots managed like your farm and soil types like yours, they're pretty valuable. This is the reason why I suggest that you put in your own variety plot so hybrids can earn their way onto your very important acres. He adds that hybrid selection should be about mitigating risk and by splitting up maturities early, mid, and late and matching hybrids to your soil condition and management practices. Also coming up in the next week or two, when they get back into full swing at school, I'm going to have some plantologists from OSU coming on. Hopefully I can get one from Texas A&M to come on different dates and talk about this leaf hopper that's been affecting corn in Texas and Oklahoma especially. I know a couple of my neighbors had it, and so you guys know more about what the leaf hopper is. Is there a true problem resolver for it yet? Not that I know of. I know my agronomist told me that he had a couple people that had it down in South Texas where it hit first a couple years ago that had it. They didn't have it this year. Is it something that's going away? And I'm pretty sure the freezing weather still has a lot to do with it. I don't know. We're going to learn more about this leafhopper and when it happens. I have found out from a friend of mine that has corn over there by me that they have figured out that the leafhopper affects your corn. It hits it when it's in the V4 stage somewhere in that neighborhood, and it's done by the V8 stage or hits in between there, and you can control it a little bit there. So anyway, okay, well, man, I've talked myself right out of a show. How about that? Let's see here. Tomorrow, Brandon won't be on. We don't have any sales. The starts, the livestock sales get back into full swing next Monday, starting at Western Oklahoma at Clinton, and everybody else's sales will come in normal place starting next Monday. I don't think there's any sales this week. Pretty sure there's not. Anyway, all right, you guys have a great day. It's been Thanks for listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Don't forget, tomorrow's Hay Day Tuesdays.